The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this Friday. Well, in a few minutes here, we'll have Gerald Celente on from the Trends Journal, Trends Research Institute. You know, the guy doesn't get too much FaceTime anymore on American television. I've been watching clips from Russian television, RT. But, you know, these Erwin Schiff guys, isn't Schiff running for Senate? They don't even have this guy on anymore. Even him running for senator, from the political aspect of this, when his commentary was generally on economics. And we all know who his father was. That's the guy who's sitting in prison right now for running afoul of the Internal Revenue Service. Can't print those books, Erwin Schiff. Erwin was a particularly irascible individual. And, well, he's still in jail. It's amazing. I'd like to thank B.B. Farber for working with me to get Gerald Celente up. He's been a real busy guy doing interviews, but I don't know where exactly he's been doing them. At any rate, we have been sold out here, a Senate Banking Committee. They hammered out a bill. And is it any good? No. Is it window dressing? Yes. Are they addressing the real economic problems of this country? No, they are not. And think about this, folks, because this is important. You have a money system that is self-destructing. It's designed to. No fiat currency has ever lasted more than 100 years. It's going to have its anniversary here in 3 years. Actually, less than that, 2.5 years. Nobody's addressing that. Jobs here in America? We started to move into a service sector. What is some of the first jobs that go? Well, service sector jobs, manufacturing. When you go into a recession, depression, those are generally the last to leave. That's when the market dries up and there's no consumer to consume the products that people are making. That's assuming that they're still manufacturing the company in this country, that people are still making the widgets that they sell. Well, the widgets are still pouring in from foreign sources, mainly China, but other places around the world, because the entrepreneurs, the capitalists, and I never liked that term, these are not free enterprise kind of people, not fair players. Well, they're still making products, bringing them into the United States. Unfortunately, it's not United States workers that are making them. I'm going to address that with Gerald Celente, along with some other issues. Haven't had this guy on for probably 8 months. But we'll get to it right after this.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, as promised, I have Gerald Salente with us. Buongiorno. How you doing, Gerald?
Buongiorno.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And how are you?
Well, and like anybody else in this country, muddling our way through the recession/depression. They were promising us green shoots, Gerald, and well, we got a few sprouts here. What's from your viewpoint, and you do the Trends Journal, the Trends Research Institute, and you're forecasting worldwide events since 1980, been doing this for 30 years. What say you on the state the ship of state here as far as the economy in the United States goes right now?
I believe that what we saw in yesterday's market turmoil is more to come. This has been a cover-up, as we've written, since they started doing this stimulus, not a recovery. The United States has spent, lent, or guaranteed from 2009 to now an estimated $13 trillion to prop up banks, hedge funds, and brokerage firms, plus a number of corporations. We're seeing what's going on in Europe with the unwinding of the stimulus. They did the same thing over there. They used this white shoe boy language, you know, to cover up what they're doing. But essentially what the central banks did was they as using as collateral, which is junk, toxic, worthless assets that banks and busted brokerages gave them, they loaned them a lot more money to keep the game going. And these toxic assets, once they come due, they're not going to be paid off. And number two, what just happened in Europe with the bailout of Greece is, first of all, against the European Monetary Union Charter, which prohibits other countries from bailing out failing countries. And number two, the IMF isn't supposed to get involved in it. There's no room for the IMF according to their charter. And of course, the IMF is the big hand behind the big money that's pumping up the economies of failing countries. And so what we're seeing going on in Europe is going to happen here. When you look at the GDP to debt ratio in the United States, depending on whose numbers you look at, it's approaching 90%. When you look at the budget deficit to GDP, they're screaming and yelling because over in Greece it's 13-14%. Well, guess what? Over here it's 11%. So the United States is facing the same problems. The only difference is that we can print phantom money out of thin air, backed by nothing and producing practically nothing out of thin air. But of course, that digital money isn't worth the paper it's not printed on. So this is just a temporary reprieve.
Well, and $1 trillion, by your accounting, now I've heard different accounting standards used for trying to figure out how many toxic assets. And I love the way, Gerald, they presented this at first. We have a problem, Houston, that we have some mortgages out there on the market that shouldn't be there, and they shouldn't have been loaned, and, well, people got a little exuberant. Well, they kept doing that, and they wore that one out, and we know that they were selling derivatives on derivatives. Now, by some people's accounting, we're talking about worldwide toxic derivatives, well over a quadrillion, which is over $100 trillion. Some people said, oh, well, that's double accounting. It's more like $500 trillion. Your best guesstimate on what's out there still ticking, ready to go off? How many trillions of this toxic garbage is still out there floating on the planet?
To the best of our knowledge, and again, this is only through what we've gathered. We don't have firsthand information on it. But our best analysis is around $600 trillion. And there's the other factor, as I was talking about the bailout in Europe. The Trichet, the head of the European Central Bank, vowed for years, and then months, and then weeks, and then hours up until the bailout, that the central bank would never buy any of the bad paper, the bonds, from failing countries, and they did. The whole thing is collapsing, and they just keep dumping more and more money into it. What we're really looking at, John, is something much bigger. All things are connected, or as Chief Seattle said, all things are connected like the blood which unites us all. When you're seeing riots going on in Thailand, different reasons, but same fundamental details why.
Yeah, they tried to burn down their own Wall Street.
Yeah, and you know, the poor people, you know, the rich are getting richer and everybody else is getting poorer. And this isn't, you know, this isn't communist rhetoric. It's only fact. The United States went from the most egalitarian nation on earth, for example, to one where the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest than any of the industrialized nations. And the gap between rich and poor is the greatest gap in modern times right now in this country. You never hear politicians talking about that great middle class anymore. So what we're seeing, when I mention this, when you're seeing riots in Ireland and Spain, in Greece and Romania, Spain next, and Portugal, you're going to see next. You're going to start seeing them all around the world. This is a prelude to something much bigger. As systems fall down, collapse, We're on the beginning of what we see the Great War of the 21st century, the first one happening for a variety of reasons, and this is one of them. When economies collapse like this, there's no end in sight. War becomes their last resort. After all else fails, they take the world to war.
Well, and you know, the perfect storm was set up here, Gerald, for this country. Some almost half century ago, the banks figured out that, wait a minute, we can do plastic. And we can give people plastic credit cards and they can live the life of Riley today and pay tomorrow. Well, it should have been a clue for people when the 70% of the GDP, and this is generally how they used to make an accounting for actual real manufactured widgets or goods. That was considered a gross domestic product. But when they start taking the credit that people were borrowing, whether it's mortgages or car loans or personal loans or home loans or whatever, credit card debt, it doesn't matter. When that equates to 70%, the only thing that's being produced is more debt. That should have been the alarm bell for a lot of people. So we've had that going on for almost a half a century.
Well, you see, I know you're an old-timer, because you said Life of Riley.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. And
William Bendix days, back in the 50s.
Yeah. But, and Gillis, of course. I remember Gillis. So yeah. I'm one of those old guys, too. And you really nailed it with my parents' generation. They didn't have credit cards. There was a strange thing going on. I know this sounds antiquated and a fossil kind of thought, but people used to actually buy what they could afford.
Yeah.
You know, I hope I don't get any hate mail for saying that. And by the way, that's what happened in Greece. You know, I have many friends from Greece. And up until the euro really came on and where inflation began to skyrocket and the whole debt psychology began to take place, people didn't buy what they couldn't afford. They paid cash for what they needed. And this whole debt bubble just keeps building and building and putting the people into servitude is what it is.
Yeah. And my point was going to be the perfect storm being, okay, we've already got the ticking time bomb, the self-destructive fiat money system that it by natural course, and no matter how careful you are with it, it generally devalues into nothing and becomes worthless. Then you satiate, and I call it the dream weavers. Madison Avenue will sell you the dream. Wall Street will provide it for you. And, of course, we've got to have the banks there to supply the credit to give you whatever you want or desire. And don't worry, you can pay for it on terms. But on top of that, emptying out manufacturing inside this country, eliminating jobs. I said at the top of the program, you weren't online, but I said that, you know, one of the first things to go in a recession is the availability of credit, but generally one of the major first real things to go is manufacturing. You start seeing layoffs. I still have the unemployment figures right around 22%. How do you perceive it?
The effect of unemployment anywhere between 18 to 22. And the other thing, you really nailed it, John, when you talk about manufacturing and you were talking about consumption, going from a manufacturing to a consumption-based society. And the United States will never regain its greatness until we regain our manufacturing capacity. I started off with it. People ask me, what can I do? I started off with a very simple solution. Every day go out and buy a candle and light the candle and say a prayer, make a wish, and offer it up to those you love, past and present. But buy that candle from a local candlestick maker. And then you know what I hear when I say that? They can't buy anything local. There is no such thing. We don't have local candles. I mean, come on. This isn't rocket science. You think maybe somebody out there is making candles? And if you buy that candle from that person, and everybody does, rather than buying that cheap Chinese crap, maybe that person can again pay their rent or send their kids to school or buy food or pay for the mortgage. We have to do business with each other. And I started thinking about it, and I realized, this isn't really new. Gandhi brought down the whole British Empire with a similar thought. when he encouraged people to make wheat their own. Don't buy the British salt. He brought down the British Empire. They were using India as a dumping ground for their production. And China's using America as a dumping ground for their production. You know, I believe in the golden rule, both of them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the other golden rule, those who have the gold rule. Hmm. And it's bad enough with the Democrats and the Republicans. I don't want to be ruled by the Chinese.
Well, and something else. In any market, you have competition. But it's an unfair advantage for those in this country that want to manufacture their furniture or whatever they're doing. When you have companies, American companies, that move to China to take advantage of the cheap labor, to ship those products back untariffed and untaxed back in this country, in due course, what it will do is eliminate the American manufacturers in this country. It's going to wipe them out because you can't compete with the pricing, even though that you're manufacturing halfway around the globe, shipping it back into the United States. You can still sell it cheaper and undersell your competition, thereby eliminating it. And the whole process speeds up when there is fewer dollars, consumer dollars out there to buy products. People will naturally gravitate to the cheapest and the mostest that they can get.
That's correct. And also, as you mentioned, the taxing issue. Not only they get the tax breaks, but the people back home, we get taxed to death. I have a friend of mine who has a business. He's probably doing about $200 million a year. And he's having trouble competing, not because it's a pretty high-tech product, because of labor, but because of taxes. The parity of labor is not killing him at all, because there are countries that are making what he's making have paying pretty high wages for that kind of skill. But every damn state, every locality, they keep taxing the little people, taxing the little people, but they have a rationale, because this is the red carpet crowd. Every time, I used to work in the New York State Senate. I was the assistant to the Secretary of the Senate at a graduate school. I was involved in politics for many years. And, you know, these guys never opened the door on their own. They have a sergeant at arms standing there opening the door. They're pampered. They're paid for life. So they can't possibly lower taxes. Will you look at how many jobs, you know how many state and federal jobs were lost last year? 190,000. That's nothing. It's nothing. There's so much fat to cut, but they won't because they're the red carpet crowd.
And you know, it's funny you should say that, because I mentioned that earlier in the week. I don't know who they're going to get to try to even think about buying U.S. Treasuries, which the government has been using to fund itself here. So they can't sell the Treasuries, so they crank up the printing presses and print more money. Is it any wonder to you that Ron Paul's Let's Audit the Fed has been watered down to absolutely nothing? Now we get to look at what happened in 08, and that's it?
I don't know if you've ever heard me say this before, but I've narrowed down what's going wrong with the United States into six simple words that will answer your question. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. Look at the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a packed court?
Yeah.
Oh, and they're so bright, they're so brilliant, they're so supreme. They're from Harvard and Yale. Yeah, George Bush Jr. couldn't have had a job at Walmart's if it wasn't for his old man and the Harvard-Yale connection. Who are these people kidding?
And they
keep throwing us this line, John. You know, we could all make it to the top. You know, all you have to do is put your nose to the grindstone.
No.
Yeah, when you fail, you're screwed. But when they fail, they're too big to fail. You know why they're too big to fail? Because they're better than everybody.
Well, and there's been, look, Gerald, they play by a totally different set of rules that most people do not understand. We keep our nose to the grindstone. We try to keep things honest and above board. We give a good day's labor for a day's wage, that kind of idea. And we're out there, and we're constantly getting kicked in the face, and people haven't yet figured out that, wait a minute, the old golden rule here doesn't apply because they're totally using a different rule book that people do not understand. They don't run in those elite circles. They do not have that mindset. And it's a shame to see people being frustrated and disillusioned here, but it's going to continue. We only have about 4.5 minutes here. You got to leave at the bottom of the hour, correct?
Yes.
Okay. There was a lot of issues I wanted to cover with
you. Well, we can do it another time.
Okay, we will. I wanted to ask you, we know the monetary situation here in this country. We know about the Fed Reserve. We know about the massive debts. In 2 minutes or less, sir, what do you think of the idea of states doing their own state-chartered banks like North Dakota has done?
Well, that's all we used to have. Now, you're probably old enough to remember when banks only did business within the states.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those things called banker's hours?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the bankers used to go to work like at 9 o'clock and leave at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And because their business was so boring, it was so vanilla. And then they turned them into, they dismantled the Glass-Steagall Act. A number of them began before that. Actually began under Carter, at the end of the Carter regime. Accelerated under Reagan, and then was just destroyed under the Clinton administration with the killing of Glass-Steagall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do a lot of international business, so we have to deal with international banks. But most of our money is in our community bank. And I support everything I can community. And that's the only way this country is going to thrive and survive. We need to break up the banks. We need to break up Wall Street. There's no need for a credit default swap, a synthetic credit default swap, an auction rate security, a special investment vehicle, or other criminal game that they can make up.
All right, I got 2 minutes left. I got one more question for you, and then we'll let you go. By the way, if you could mention to Beebe, I'd like to snag you back in a couple of 3 weeks. I'd like to bring you on the National Intel Report. I do on Tuesdays with Bob Chapman and my sidekick, Robbie Noel. Next 6 months, projections, gold and silver. What's it going to do?
I'm not too sure about silver. I really more of a gold guy. Now, we can see gold 1500.
Okay.
And the markets, it's a rigged game. Everything, I mean, gold is, as we all know, the markets are being manipulated.
Yeah, they caught J.P. Morgan price-fixing the silver market, and nothing happened.
Nothing happens. Well, of course, because they're the elites.
There you go.
You know, I met Harvard, Princeton, Yale. I mean, who's the head of the Federal Reserve? The Princeton man.
There you go.
Now, of course, but you go, you have two glasses of wine and get stopped at a drunk driving stop, they'll handcuff you and throw you into jail. There's two sets of, that's what we're going to see, that's what you're seeing worldwide, by the way. If I come up with a new expression, Workers of the World 2.0, you're going to start seeing some real big rebellions start to happen. And who knows, maybe off with their heads 2.0. People are fed up with what's going on.
And I've noticed recently, Brzezinski just recently said to his buds and pals at a meeting, I think it was in Montreal, the world is starting to wake up. He's becoming extremely paranoid because they're catching on to the globalist game, world banking, et cetera, et cetera. The people around the world are starting to wake up to the banking scam, and it's not a minute too short. Hey, we've got only about 20 seconds here. So I'm going to call BB, and I want to schedule you out for 1 hour to have you on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
For only a half hour, it's like showing me a piece of candy I can't eat.
Well, thank you. But I just want to say that the best times are yet to come, and we could have an America far greater than we could ever imagine.
Hey, I'm with you. Hey, Gerald, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll be back, folks. He's been doing it for 30 years, and he has been more right than right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
Aerial spray.
I do not know what to
chemtrails,
do.
The modified atmosphere. Heavy metals and pesticides.
What?
Carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Yeah, I wished I would have had more time with Gerald, because I wanted to ask him about the banking reform. These Wall Street banks face their toughest clampdown since the Great Depression after the U.S. Senate passed Barack Obama's banking reform bill. According to The Guardian, in a historic change, the U.S. government will be handed the power to seize control of a failing bank to avoid a collapse that could threaten the financial sector. Derivatives tradings will be subject to new controls, and shareholders will get a British-style say-on-pay vote on boardroom bonuses. It's called fascism, folks, when the government takes control of private enterprise. They go on to say, however, some measures were dropped from the bill, including stringent conflict of interest rules and tighter controls on proprietary trading. After Republicans prevented these topics being voted on. There's your Republicans out there, folks. Yeah, they'll sit around and complain how bad the Democrats are, then they sit around and they strip out any true oversight or real regulation. All this is just a shell game. You know, over the last couple of days, Over the last couple of days, I've been thinking about these creatures in Washington, D.C. And the more I thought about it, because it's political time here, we get to put a few new faces in the same old places, and nothing has changed structurally within the government. The game is rigged. So what are we going to do? Elect Rand Paul to Senate? Which, by the way, he is not his father's son when it comes to the issue of Israel. Trust me on this one. I hate to say this, and there was a guy by the name of Jerry that called into Ernie Hancock's show. The reins of that program was taken over by Jet Li today. And he was angry. He was angry at Jet Lacy. Jeez, I wished he was Jet Li. It means he would have money. Yeah, at any rate, he got extremely angry. He got angry because, well, besmirching Ron Paul, my God, why do we want to do that? We need as many good people as we can get in the Senate or Congress. And on that, I will agree. And there was another point that was brought up. You know, if there's something that one of these guys does that we don't agree with, are we ready to deep six the whole thing because we don't agree on a certain subject? Well, the question comes around then, is Rand Paul a closet neocon, or is he kissing and making up just to get himself in the Senate? And then the other subject, this is a progression of thought here, that one runs right into the other. Well, if he's not really sincere about that and he's being disingenuous or maybe a little white lie, if he's willing to do that on a campaign to get into office, what makes you think that he's going to, you know, this was the same argument that was given with Deborah Medina. And people torpedoed her. And trust me, folks, I would much rather have Deborah Medina. Hell, I'd much rather have one of Deborah Medina's kids as governor of Texas than I would another term of Rick Perry. Or to bring in this, and I'm going to try to be kind, name-calling. I'm trying to get away from name-calling. Our Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. She is part of the global elite of the First Order. So our selection here was rather limited. But I saw Deborah Medina quickly get swept aside and all the support. Would she have won? Would she have won if she had stayed in the race? And no, I don't think that she would have. That's the bad news. The good news, with a lot of media attention, and her out walking and talking, she has the ability to bring up issues to the voters, and we're thinking in political terms right now, to the voters that would make them aware. It's the same thing Ron Paul did when he was running. Do you actually think that Ron Paul wanted the presidency of the United States? And if you believe that, how long would Ron Paul have stayed alive if he had actually gotten the presidency of the United States? You know, Around here, folks, we kill presidents that we don't necessarily like or trust. So, the issue of Rand Paul, and my personal, I mean, this is only my personal take. I don't trust the guy. I know his last name's Paul, but when you pander to the very thing here that might get us involved in World War III, he's going to be chiming in on foreign policy and whatever else. And keep in mind, there's only 100 of those critters. We got 435 of the Congress critters. Well, we've got only 100 of the Senate critters. And I could be 100% wrong. Am I going to dissuade people from voting for Rand Paul? No, not at all. Because he is far and away a better choice than what he's running against. In a perfect world, I guess we could manufacture our own perfect politicians that would have perfect voting records and perfectly vote the way we wanted them to. Now, I'll settle. You know, we can settle a lot of these political arguments here by throwing down the gauntlet, and that being the Constitution. Both parties would be ineffectual if they had to vote according to the Constitution. They make up rules as they go along. So, at any rate, you know, that subject came up, and it's not an easy one to address. If I were in Kentucky, would I vote for Rand Paul? Yes, I would. Do I like his stance on the Middle East and Israel? No, I do not. Not in the least. So, until we get to a point, ladies and gentlemen, we fire up the states, and we have state sovereignty, states' rights, and we can wield the power as a state the way it was meant to. You know, the states created the federal government, not the other way around. But here we are being run by the FedGov, or should I say, run into the ground. It's a hard thing, but yeah, that's my thoughts on it. It's a hard subject to talk about, and you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. You know, is Ron Paul himself perfect? No. Is there some things that he believes that I do not? Absolutely. But he's Ron Paul, and I'm John Stadtmiller. He's the United States Congressman. I'm sitting behind a microphone. And it, you know, it's just it's just that sort of a thing. It's going to be an open phone Friday. Anything that you would like to discuss, anything that's on your mind, any news that has cropped up that we have not covered, we will most assuredly take your phone call on. And I'd like to hear your thoughts here on the Rand Paul. Play a clip here. Congressman Tom McClintock. Now, we all saw that Calderon addressed the Congress yesterday. And out of California, Congressman Tom McClintock basically said on the House floor, tell Mexico to butt out. Run that clip right now.
Mr. Fazio of Oregon. Mr. McClintock of California. The gentleman is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to take strong exception to the speech by the President of Mexico here in this chamber today. The Mexican government has made it very clear for many years that it holds American sovereignty in contempt, and President Calderon's behavior as a guest of the Congress today confirms and underscores this attitude. It is highly inappropriate for the President of Mexico to lecture Americans on American immigration law, just as it would be for Americans to lecture Mexico on its own laws. It is obvious that President Calderon does not understand the nature of America or the purpose of our immigration law. Unlike Mexico's immigration law, which is brutally exclusionary, the purpose of America's law is not to keep people out. It is to assure that as people come to the United States, they do so with the intention of becoming Americans and of raising their children as Americans. Unlike Mexico, our nation embraces legal immigration, and what makes that possible is assimilation. A century ago, President Teddy Roosevelt put it this way. He said, quote, in the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American, assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon this person's becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he's an American but something else also isn't an American at all. We have room but for one flag, the American flag. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. and we have room for but one sole loyalty, and that is a loyalty to the American people. End of quote. That's how we've created one great nation from all the nations of the world. The largest group of immigrants now comes from Mexico. A recent RAND study discovered that during the 20th century, while our immigration laws were actually enforced, assimilation worked, and it made possible the swift attainment of the American dream for millions of immigrants seeking to escape the conditions of Mexico. That is the broader meaning of our nation's motto, E Pluribus Unum, from many people, one people, the American people. But there's now an element in our political structure that seeks to undermine that concept of E Pluribus Unum. It seeks to hyphenate Americans, to develop linguistic divisions, to assign rights and preferences based on race and ethnicity, and to elevate devotion to foreign ideologies and traditions, while at the same time denigrating American culture, American values, and American founding principles. In order to do so, they know that they have to stop the process of assimilation. And in order to do that, they have to undermine our immigration laws. It is an outrage that a foreign head of state would appear in and actively seek to do so. And it is a disgrace that he would be cheered on from the left wing of the White House and from many Democrats here in Congress. Arizona has not adopted a new immigration law. All it has done is to enforce existing law that this president refuses to enforce. It's hardly a radical policy to suggest that if an officer on a routine traffic stop encounters a driver with no driver's license, no passport, and who doesn't speak English, that maybe that individual might be here illegally.
See.
And to those who say we must reform our immigration laws, I reply we don't need to reform them. We need to enforce them.
See.
Just as every other government does, just as Mexico does. Above all, this is a debate of, by, and for the American people. If President Calderon wishes to participate in that debate, I invite him to obey our immigration laws, apply for citizenship, do what 600,000 legal immigrants to our nation are doing right now, learn our history and our customs, and become an American, and then he will have every right to participate in that debate. Until then, I would politely invite him to have the courtesy, while a guest of this Congress, to abide by the fundamental rules of diplomacy between civilized nations, not to meddle in each other's domestic debates. I yield back.
Well, Mr. McClintock, out of California, we have somebody speaking sense from California. Calderon being a citizen of the U.S.? And, you know, this is what's going on here is multifaceted. Now, when you've got NAFTA that passed in 92, when you've passed GATT, Security and Prosperity Agreement, all of these things, that was a green light. They tell people in Mexico, hey, go to the U.S. You know, our economy sucks down here. Go to the U.S. Get a job. You know, in fatter times, that was an irritation. Now, it's an absolute necessity that we get rid of the illegals because they're still doing jobs that Americans can be filling. You remember the old argument? Well, the Mexicans are just doing jobs the Americans don't want to do. Really? We got a lot of jobless people in this country. You know, I was watching, and I eyeballed this guy real hard today, right across the street, and neighbors having a new roof put on their house. And Mexicans were doing the roofing. Now it's down here in Texas, folks. You don't see a whole lot of white guys up on the roofs of buildings putting new roofs on when it's 105, 110 degrees. But you did see, before this huge influx of illegals in this country, you still saw Mexicans doing this work. They were more acclimatized to the heat. They didn't seem to mind it as much. But these were legal aliens. There was a difference. Well, the boss showed up in his brand new Super Duty, tricked out $40-some-thousand-dollar truck to check up on his illegals. And I was out mowing the lawn this morning, and I just stood there and I just eyeballed this guy. Because this cocky 10-gallon wearing hat son of a gun got out of his truck to talk to his little Mexican workers that I knew weren't legal. And he was just as cocky and just as, arrogant as they come. I could have whooped his butt if I chose to pick a fight, but I chose not to. I've had enough of the Round Rock Police Department for a while, thank you very much. But, point being, you know, who are these people? You know, to continue to do business, is it that important to you to keep chasing that almighty dollar when your fellow countrymen are falling on their face? I just had that urge, and that urge was very strong on me to go kick some Texan butt today. But I didn't. I held my tongue. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I'd be doing the show from telephone from a jail cell today. Who knows? We'll be right back.
As the economy continues to plummet, many of us will have to make difficult choices and cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, weak immune health, or just feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. Shentrition is an innovative supplement that stimulates the healing power of the body. Shentrition is made up of two parts. The first part is superfoods, alkalizing greens, and hemp protein. The second half contains a powerful herbal formula to heal and detoxify the body. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs and heal the body with food in one product. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets to healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's Shentrition. Shentrition.com or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government.
But truth, like freedom, isn't free.
The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
Somebody Skyped in some commentary here, and thank you, Gary. He said there's an advertisement all over the internet. He said, I personally saw it advertised here in Hong Kong. It said something like, free money, come to America. The ad says, win a free ticket, like only a few will get it, but I bet they'd all win the ticket. And he says, do you know who owns the post office? I retired from the UPS. It took me many years before I found out that the Federal Reserve owns it. I researched it. And a comment on the new banking bill. Once I screwed you, John, and got most of my money in your debt. Gary, you want to resend that one? That didn't make any sense at all. Let's go to the phones. Mark in Texas. Hello, Mark.
Well, you know, John, you was talking about RAM before.
Yeah.
I was listening to doing the Texas Two-Step to the Civil Rights Question by Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, I missed that one. What did he say?
Well, he pretty much says he would have voted for it now.
Oh, well. Yeah.
You know, what the thing is, you're presented in life with golden opportunities. And I know I wasn't put on the spot, but if you're going to go, you have to be prepared to a certain extent for the hot-button issues. There's not many they're going to pull on you. You know, you got to admit, their repertoire is few and far between. When the guy asks a question, I don't know what RAM did come out and say, listen, Aram, this is very simplistic. We haven't been adhering to the Constitution since 64. Our government protects individual rights. We shouldn't even be having to vote on a civil rights amendment, period.
Yeah.
Our Constitution is set in stone. And that's what I'm going to try and do when I get up to the Senate, is I'm going to try and adhere to what has worked for so many years, even though it just gets lip service.
Well, and the easy way around this, and I'm going to be honest here, Mark. I really don't like Rand Paul. I've got a pretty good judge. I mean, I've got a good BS meter, and it's starting to move off of its left peg here. And I don't know. The best way to do this is, when in trouble politically with an answer, the safest bet is to refer to the Constitution. That's what Ron Paul had done before when he did his presidential. I'd seen him do it many, many times. You know, there's all kinds of gotcha out there. So what they try to do is trip you up. Okay, I'm not for the civil rights. I don't know what a civil right is.
No. Nope.
Civil is something that can be granted or taken away.
I'm not even sure what a privilege is, but anyhow.
Yeah, well, I know what a God-given right is. That means man can't take it away. So what we need to do is take God out of the equation. See how they work that one? Yeah, when you set up something that, well, it was granted to us by God. So who is man to mess with the creator of the entire universe? Well, we just eliminate God. Takes care of that problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's ways out of it, and hopefully whoever's behind him, you know, sitting in his corner at the dinner table in the evening, will bring some of this stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is they just keep going on and on with the answers. It should be short and sweet, and done with it, and move on to the next one.
Yeah, because the more you keep talking, the more traps you'll lay for the people that want to trap you.
It never fails. See you later, buddy.
Thanks, man. Renee and Bill, hang on. We'll invite other callers into the next hour. 800-313-9443. And get around to Alley Pack here. Guy used to be on this network. That would be William Dean. He did an article here just recently about 17 states following Arizona's lead in response to citizen pressure. Ooh, it's heating up.
With recent